You know, I've been listening to a lot of Led Zeppelin lately. I don't know why. I mean, not all of their songs, but just like a few of them, you know. I don't know, those lyrics that they wrote back then, wow, just amazing compared to what we hear today. Anyway, hi, welcome to Your Rancher Radio, the podcast. It's good to have you here. I haven't used this opening theme in a long time, so I'm feeling a little reminiscent. I promised that I would start each of these podcasts with the thought to ponder that I get from the Urantia book. I don't know if you get those. You can get them through the foundation. If you go on their website, I think there's like a button you can click and you can, and then they just get delivered to your email every day. It's kind of like a way to start the day. So today, the thought of the day is from paper 178, and it's Jesus, and he says the following: "The revelation I have made to you is a living revelation, and I desire that it shall bear appropriate fruits in each individual and in each generation in accordance with the laws of spiritual growth, increase, and adaptative development." So that's a real good thought to ponder. But don't you just love it? It's just such good. It's just so much is conveyed in so few words. Shall bear appropriate fruits in each individual and in each generation. So he reveals, and then it's up to us to take that revelation and bear good fruit in our daily lives. That's just such a wonderful truth to start off the day. Really makes life worth living. So also in my inbox was the update from the Urantia Association, those folks over there that do so much good work. And they and if you haven't signed up for that, that's easy. Just go to urantiaradio.net and you can click on the links. All of the links that you want from the Urantia community are in one place. That's why I set it up. All of these wonderful people doing great things, and I really encourage you to check out urantiaradio.net. It's a resource. It's where we put our podcast. It's where we put our archives. And boy, you can go back now like 40, 50, you know, good podcasts now. I'm thinking of putting some of the older episodes up again because I'm afraid that people, you know, Meredith Sprunger, for example, I've got some great audio, and that you can, I think, get from Truthbook, which is where I think I nabbed it years ago, and it's Meredith talking about his impressions of the Urantia book and where he saw the movement going as time went on, and he recorded that thing like in the late 70s or 80s or something. And for those who don't know, Meredith, back in 61, in Fort Wayne, I think, Indiana, somewhere in North Indiana, he was a minister, a pastor, and he became one of the pioneers in spreading the Urantia revelation, you know, during those times. Very, very well thought, man. I had the honor of talking to him a couple of times in my radio career. So he was just a fabulous guy and really kind of settled for me. I thought, man, this guy's brilliant. You know, if he buys into this, you know, who am I? What am I going to say? So anyway, he was very influential in my early years of sort of understanding the magnitude of the Urantia book. So anyway, urantiaradio.net, great website. You can get all kinds of stuff. Plus, we put some new streams up there on stuff from science and archaeology and all that stuff that we love to have, that we love about the Urantia book. Because, you know, the Urantia book is science. It's history, it's archaeology, it's biology, it's psychology, it's faith. You know, anybody who really digs that good intellectual stuff, and I kind of try to bring it all together in a very simple, easy to navigate, you know, format. So check it out, urantiaradio.net. It helps you kind of find all the good resources you need. And in fact, I got in my email box from the Urantia Association their latest journal, which comes out quarterly, I think. Anyway, so good job. And they posted an article that I wanted to share with you. And this one is called, "How Do We Reconcile Living in the Kingdom and Living in the World?" Great topic, right? How do we reconcile living in the world, in the material world, dealing with the problems of the material world, and at the same time, retain our spiritual insight, our spiritual courage, you know, our universal citizenship badge whatever you want to call it. How do we reconcile these two worlds? Well, did Jesus say anything about it? Does the Urantia book offer some insight? And it sure does. And this comes from a gentleman. I want to share with you this great article from 2018. And it was given at the Urantia Association Convention in the Netherlands. And the speech was written by Richard Jernigan. And it is entitled, again, How Do We Reconcile Living in the Kingdom and Living in the World? So, for the most part, Jernigan hits on the key points about how we're to deal with politics and what the UB offers in aiding us in this endeavor. Does the Urantia book offer a viewpoint on what kind of government we should have? What is our role as citizens? And Jernigan rightfully draws from several key statements in the Urantia book. So let me read a little bit. It says, while the first goal of Jesus' teachings and the teachings of the Urantia book itself is our personal spiritual transformation, it follows that we need to be good citizens in our communities, our provinces, our regions, landers and states, our nations, and our world. So if you're a Urantia book reader, think about this for a moment. Your life is going to be completely different if you're living in, say, communist China or Sweden, for example. And think about the dynamics of how you're supposed to be a good citizen. Or let's say you're a Urantia book reader and you're living in Venezuela or Cuba or India or some place where, you know, they have strict religious rules, like name any Muslim country, Saudi Arabia, perhaps. So it's different. How do you reconcile being a Urantia book, for that matter, having faith in God, and also being a good citizen? So that's what Richard Jernigan is exploring in his writings. He says, social justice and industrial fairness, what do they look like in terms of Jesus' teachings? For starters, we can look at a statement appearing in this section on Jesus' Urmia lectures. You remember Urmia, where Jesus met with a bunch of what were then spiritual leaders, thought leaders, political leaders, people of high intellect that were meeting, and Jesus made a series of lectures that are just absolutely wonderful, if you want to read them in part four of the book. It says, the Most High's rule in the kingdoms of men, and their goal is to, quote, to foster the greatest good to the greatest number of all men. And yes, this includes women and children. That's what he writes. And quote, and for the greatest length of time, paper 134, section 5, paragraph 4. The greatest good for the greatest number of people and for the greatest length of time. That's how the Urantia book, that's what the basis of Jesus' teachings in when we live as citizens. You always try to think in terms of what's going to be for the greatest good, for the greatest length of time, for the greatest amount of people. That's the rule of thumb that we are told in the Urantia book, that the Most Highs, the spiritual administrators of our world and all worlds, think. So how is this going to benefit the most people for the most amount of time, right? Then he goes on to say, a powerful statement for two reasons. It includes all people and for the greatest period of time. We don't just divide up all the cash and make everyone happy for a few days. This is about sustainable solutions, long-lasting solutions, systemic solutions that benefit humanity for great stretches of time. Then he writes, this involves political action and setting up governments that facilitate this work in an organized, systematic, predictable way, so that we indeed help achieve the greatest good for the greatest number of people for the greatest period of time. Now, I had to take issue with that statement because I don't think that's what the Urantia book says. And I'll make my point in a moment, because he's right in principle that when we make personal decisions, family decisions, work decisions, you have to look at what's going to be for the greatest purpose, you know, the greater purpose, not just myself. We all know that we mostly make decisions based on our own self-interest. But when it comes to the social arena, we have to think in a larger perspective. How is this going to help people around me? Because ultimately, we all benefit when we think that way. That is true. But then Jernigan, and I get the feeling he might, you know, for wherever he's from, I think he thinks that things like the way that he writes it involves political action and setting up governments that facilitate this idea that you can make things fair. on the one hand, Jernigan is correct on that ideal. The ideal state works for the common good because it is the right thing to do. But that's different from having a government organize the endeavor from a practical sense. The government can't regulate human behavior. That's one thing we've learned from communism. That's one thing we've learned from socialism. And by the way, the Urantia book clearly says that communism is a required part of social evolution, but not a desired part, because eventually it squashes people's ability to move about and be free and to have free thinking. I think we know that. So Jernigan goes on to say, as faithful students of this text, and again, this is all in the context of how do we be good citizens. Jernigan is taking the position that, you know, we should have just a philosophy, and in that philosophy, we can contaminate others with that same spiritual insight. Totally agree with that. But taking the next step, he goes down that route where we can take that philosophy and turn it into a system and then make people more civilized. And I'll draw upon the quote that a people make civilization. Civilization does not make the people. That is a direct quote from the Urantia book. So Jernigan goes on to say, a faithful student of the text, the Urantia book, should have profound repercussions on our political, social, and economic attitudes. We should be active in pursuing justice, fairness, and equity in every realm of our lives. We have a duty to be good citizens of our world. 100% agree with Mr. Jernigan on that. He adds a great quote from Jesus himself. He says, here is nothing incompatible between sonship in the spiritual kingdom and citizenship in the secular or civil government. It is the believer's duty to render to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to God the things which are God's. There cannot be any disagreement between these two requirements, the one being material and the other spiritual, unless it should develop that a Caesar, meaning a ruler, presumes to usurp the prerogatives of God and demand that spiritual homage and spiritual worship be rendered to him. But then Jernigan makes a comment that does draw my attention, in which he says, fortunately, no one today is dealing with the dictatorial Caesars of Jesus' time. But we aren't far from that time in which dictators ruled nations on this continent. The developed nations that most of us here live in today, more or less, are by the people and for the people. Hooray for that, Jernigan writes. Now remember, this is 2018. A whole lot of stuff has happened since then. So he says, fortunately, as he's delivering his speech, we all live in happy, open societies. Not true. Examining that last statement, as I see it today, there is a secular march towards ever-increasing tyranny. That is a concern that I have as a Urantia book reader, not as a human being. What I see, and it's not hard to find, are a lot of religious people being persecuted by the second. And it's getting worse. And we've talked about some of this. We may enjoy freedom here in the U.S. and to a certain degree in Europe, where they're not in lockdown. We enjoy liberty. We enjoy freedom of thought. But that is not the case elsewhere to the majority of the people in the world, as we have discussed. And it is of grave concern. As spiritual people, we should be highly offended, demonstrably offended, that people are being tortured, imprisoned, executed for their religious beliefs, right? And I'm going to get to that in just a second here, because oftentimes that passion that I have to try to do something to enlighten people and to end persecution and to help people understand why religious persecution is so horrible. I think about the conversation that Melchizedek had with Abraham. You might recall that Abraham, in his early years, he was thinking about earthly rule. He wanted to rule Salem. He wanted to rule that area. He wanted to command armies. He wanted that rule so that he could uplift his fellow man. And Melchizedek understood that. But he said there's a greater purpose when you serve the spiritual cause. And he said that to Abraham. He said, at one point, you're going to have to make a decision. Which way do you want? Who do you want to serve? Who do you want to help? Do you want to help Caesar or do you want to help God? Right? I feel that a lot. That's the conflict that I have, because I do feel that there's much that we can do to improve people's lives just by introducing them to the concepts in the Urantia book. But in order to get to that point, we have to push back against our enemy. And our enemy, in this case, is secularism and materialism in the modern world. Sometimes I wonder if I spend too much time worrying about the politics of the day. Perhaps my efforts, perhaps your efforts, would be better spent focusing on spiritual efforts, right? I don't know. That is the question. But Jernigan offers some good statements on our responsibilities in this life, knowing about the revelation. And he writes, as we engage in politics, as many of us do, including myself, I see three responsibilities as students of the Urantia book. We have a responsibility to engage in politics with intelligence, to be informed, to know how to distinguish between real news and propaganda, to know what is real science and what is a conspiracy theory or an urban myth. And by the way, coming from a Urantia book reader, I think that's a pretty cool statement. Number two, he says we have a responsibility to do this with civility. Regardless of our positions and of the passion with which we hold our views, we express them with facts, with reason, and with respect for anyone holding an opposing view, because they are a beloved child of God. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then three, we have a responsibility to do this with compassion. Quote, Jesus's compassion was boundless. His sympathy was practical, personal, and constructive. End quote, paper 171. Section 3, paragraph 3. The Urantia book is out of this world, freely and easily available, Richard Jernigan writes. Each of us who have been changed by this book are ambassadors of this book. How we live our lives reflects on the teachings. Each of our acts of divinity grows our souls. Each of our acts of truth, beauty, and goodness nudges us toward life and light. Along with many millions of others, he concludes, we represent Jesus in this world. And I have allowed myself for many years, I saw myself as an ambassador. That's an awesome position to be in. And there's a lot to ponder. So if you go to the Urantia Association website, you can download Richard Jernigan's wonderful article, and it is available. And you'll find it on my website at urantiaradio.net. So there we go. It was again presented back in the Netherlands Urantia Association Conference. Great insight, and thank you so much, Richard, for providing that wonderful insight, and good topic, too. And I think that's where we're going to leave it this time. I want to thank you again for joining me on the Urantia Radio podcast. It is so good to have you here. And we, of course, try to drop a new episode at least once a week. I have been a bit tardy, but that's just because, well, you know, there's like a pandemic going on. I know you know. And I know you're there, and I appreciate you very much. If you want to email me, the easiest way to do it is urantiaradio@gmail.com. urantiabookradio@gmail.com. Or you could just go on my website. There's a place for you to contact me quite easily. Until next time, thanks for joining me.